Sometimes a little encouragement can go a long way. Our community connection takes us to Wilkes-Barre, where character, confidence, and good study habits are part of the McGlynn Center. Executive Director Peggy Nork helps ignite a love of learning.
The McGlynn Center's been in existence for 37 years. We were founded by the Sisters of Mercy. A Sister of Mercy was working on a project in the Wilkes-Barre Housing Authority buildings and saw all of these children scattered around, getting into trouble, and decided she was going to open a drop-in center. And that's how we started. And the children would come in and just be off the street during hours that were kind of troublesome. Soon, one of the children said, "I need help with homework." And that kind of spearheaded who we became. We've been located in two locations of the Wilkes-Barre Housing Authority: Boulevard Townhomes, which is downtown Wilkes-Barre, and Mineral Springs Village, which is in Plains.
For the last 3 decades, you've helped a lot of children, and you still do. But we all know that time has a tendency to promote some sort of change. So have there been any changes or additions to your programming?
The McGlynn Center has always been a safe place for children to come to. We focus significantly on academics. So the after-school program is Monday through Thursday, immediately after school until 5 o'clock. And the children come in, and our primary focus is to keep them on track with their schoolwork, get them where they need to be if they're struggling, and get them excited about their education. Besides that, we have 3 other elements of our organization. We do a life skills program from children grades 3 through 6, and then a teens program from 7th through 12th. Those programs focus on issues of anxiety, you know, in education or life, bullying, being aware of who you are, having self-esteem, and a lot of things children just struggle with in general. Then we have what we call our outreach program. And in our outreach program, we make sure that the children have winter coats every school year, brand new. We give them sneakers at Christmas, hats, gloves, scarves, you name it. If they seem to struggle, backpacks in the beginning of the school year with school supplies. And then we also do a monthly food bag that goes to each family and snacks that the kids get every day. And we work in partnership with the CEO Weinberg Food Bank. And we're so grateful for that partnership and being able to provide for our families.
They are extraordinary. Actually, you're partnering with a lot of really good nonprofits.
We are. We're a United Way agency and receive funding every year to help with our after-school program, our Life Skills and Teens program. They also help with the school supplies and staffing, which is huge. We also work with the McGowan Foundation, the Luzerne Foundation. I don't want to miss anybody because they're all so wonderful. The Mercy Foundation with the Sisters of Mercy, and then the Sisters of Mercy Institute, which is kind of a governing body for our organization.
So you've got a lot of helping hands. And it's interesting because sometimes a lot of people don't know where you are or who you are.
We see that a lot. Part of that reason is because we are a small nonprofit who serve a small population. So we're only serving the children at this time that live on the properties of Boulevard Townhome in Mineral Springs Village. We are looking right now to expand so that we can serve more children in the Wilkes-Barre School District and surrounding communities.
What kind of changes do you see because of the programs they take?
Living in housing is transient living almost. So people don't always stay living in public housing. We do see children who come to us for second grade and stay right through to 12th, but it is often that children move off of the property. And when that happens, we don't always get to the follow-up with them. But for the children who start first grade and stay to 12th, we see so much growth, and not just academically, but socially. I always say the education is why we're here, but all of the other things we do, teaching them kindness and respect and how to appreciate each other and the unique different qualities we all have as human beings, that's where I see the children grow the most. You know, our children come from very different backgrounds. We have children who speak different languages. English is not their first language. We have Ukrainian students, and we have Vietnamese students. We have a lot of Hispanic students in a variety of different dialects of being Hispanic. And we're teaching them this kindness and respect that really transcends to their living and the way they live.
Now, most of the staff at the McGlynn Center, are they educators? Are they teachers?
A few of our staff and volunteer are actually educators. So right now, we've just expanded our staff to two additional people. For the last probably 15 or 16 years, it's been three people. And now we're up to five. We're so excited. It's amazing all of what you can get done when you have two extra people, you know, mm-hmm. around, and how less stressful it is to accomplish those goals. But we heavily rely on volunteers. So from 2:30 to 5, most of the people in the building with the children are volunteers. We have staff in all of those locations, but we get volunteers from the general public. Some of them are retired teachers. Some of them are retired bankers, believe it or not. When we rely heavily on our partnerships with King's College and Misericordia University. We do have occasionally some students from Wilkes or LCC that come as well. But those partnerships help us to have the right amount of people in the building so that we're servicing the children to the best of our ability. And the things that the children get from the peer-to-peer working with other students really is encouraging. We have more children thinking that they can go to college than we've ever had before. And we currently have 9 former students in college at this time.
You're actually seeing progress in action.
And full circle.
What a beautiful thing to see. Now, how about you? How did you get involved in something like this?
Well, ironically, I worked at Children's Service Center for a long time in the marketing department and helped developing programs for the children that go to Children's Service Center, which are children with a lot of behavioral health or mental health issues. Had a small stint at the SPCA, which was a whole other animal, let me just say, but wonderful. And there was a job opening, and they were looking for somebody with a master's degree, which I do not have. And something just kept calling me to apply. And I feel like everything happens for a reason. And I applied. I had known Sister Miriam, who was the foundress of the McGlynn Center. She founded the organization, and I had known her. She had served on the Children's Service Center board, and I got called to come there, and it's been wonderful ever since. So I've been there just over 8 years.
You know, you're talking about the growth of the children in all of the different modules that you offer them. But what about the growth of the executive director? How do you feel you've grown over these last few years?
Well, I've always loved working with children, and it has taught me levels of patience that I don't think you experience in other types of businesses. So I talk to our volunteers and our staff about this. We all have baggage that we carry. You know, some of that is something as simple as you stubbed your toe or you spilled your coffee, and that helped changes your day for you. Our children carry baggage that doesn't belong to them, or do they know what it is? Living in poverty is very difficult, not only for children, but for the families that they live with. And so sometimes the baggage their parents are dealing with, they're carrying. When a child walks into our building in what we would call a not so great mood, it's not something they can always explain to us. Trying to teach our volunteers the dynamic of how to be able to help that child in that moment. We do some silly things. We'll say, shake it off, and we'll do a silly dance with them to try to shake off the bad that they're carrying or the angry that they're carrying. And we try to express to them, we all have that. We all see not so good days. And if they could leave with a smile on their face and got their homework done in the meantime, we're grateful. Or if they leave just in slightly a better mood than when they came in, we're grateful for that too.
There's a terrific level of trust there. They walk in and they are hoping that maybe they're going to learn something that will make them feel a little bit better by the time they leave the space.
I always say to the volunteers that when you get that aha moment when you're working with a child, you're hooked. You know, if our volunteers catch that aha moment in the week or two that they first start, then they're volunteering with us forever. And that's including college kids. We've had college students at Misericordia or King's that were with us all 4 years of their college career or longer for those doing physical therapy or other majors. But, you know, a child that comes to you and is not understanding your language and is trying to learn, and we do teach English as a second language. We work with them, teach them phonics and sight words, and we teach them how to read. And then from that moment, you see them failing vocabulary and coming in the first time with 100 and so excited and ecstatic that I did this. You know, those are the aha moments that we're able to be a part of that make what we do so rewarding because, you know, there's a lot of days that, you know, we leave in tears, but the good tears are the reason why we come back every day.
It's wonderful to see a child feel good about themselves.
I always say to our volunteers, you know, we all come from different backgrounds and we may never have experienced what it would be like to be food insecure or to live in poverty, to not understand I either feed my family or I pay our rent. I can't express enough how wonderful our parents are for our children. They care about their education. They care about where they are. They care about the friendships they develop. And they are so grateful that the McGlynn Center exists so that they have peace of mind if they're still at work until 6 o'clock. If somebody isn't home when they're supposed to be, the children can always come back and spend a little more time in our building. To be there for not just the children, but to be there for the parents. I couldn't imagine being a single parent of 3 or 4 children and worried about where are they or what are they doing until I get home. And, you know, to have the McGlynn Center, you know, I honestly wish we could be in every community because I feel there's a need, not just on the academic side, but on helping our parents.
That was my next question. You're almost reading my mind in that you do such a good job developing the children and helping the children. Would you ever think of maybe doing something for the adults, for the parents, so the stresses could kind of be a little bit eased?
We have tried over the years to help our parents with English as a second language or helping them find the right resources that they may need for their own development and or growth. Our families come from such diverse backgrounds and experience. It's really hard for them to earn or gain trust because, quite honestly, they're not always treated in the most respectful way. And I'm sorry, I get a little emotional when I talk about it because, you know, some of them are living in a country that is foreign to them, they don't speak the language, and they're just not treated as well as they should be. So getting them to trust us, then once they trust us, through the trust of their children, quite honestly, their children trust us, then the families trust us, then we can help connect them with the resources they need. And that's when we know we've kind of gone full circle and are doing what we need to be doing in the community. So specific programs that we offer parents, we don't necessarily have, and primarily because there are so many wonderful organizations in our county and community that we would refer them to, that do it every day and do a great job at it.
Do you have like a teacher's night where you invite the parents, where you're able to talk the child up?
Well, we do that in a variety of different ways, but part of our program and a part of the funding we receive, we need to keep track of the children's academic success. So the children are required to bring in the progress reports and report cards and the things that we keep on record. Part of the reason outside of funding requiring it, we do that so that we can help the child where they're struggling. There's a huge step between 4th and 5th grade, both in math and in advancement in reading ability. So If we see a child struggling, we will speak to teachers and parents and try to become a unified group to help that child get over whatever hurdles they're having in their education. We do that at all grade levels, but we see that usually third to fourth grade or fourth to fifth grade. And again, in high school, we do have a lot of high school students that come to our program for help because maybe in elementary school or middle school, they didn't have to work so hard. And now that they're in high school, they have to work hard and they never really learned how to study properly, or maybe their reading and comprehension isn't where they need it to be.
It's a very delicate balancing act, but you're doing very well.
Part of the, you had mentioned the trust relationship with the families, and you mentioned academically talking about like parent night. We reward the children with good attendance to school and good report cards with a little gift. We call it a treasure chest, and they pick something out, and all of the children from first grade all the way up to 12th grade get really excited to do that. And we will then also try to do a field trip once a month for children who are progressing academically. So maybe they don't have straight A's in their report card, but maybe they brought that D to a C, and we see that they are working hard. We reward them with going, you know, on a field trip, bowling or to Chuck E. Cheese or to the movies, or you know, sometimes it's an academic trip to Misericordia University and they work with the students out there and do some fun activities. The parents see the change in the children, and we will get phone calls from the parents that say, I don't know what's going on, but thank you. It usually happens right around the life skills program time where the children realize that they are responsible for their words and actions. And once they realize that, they take a little bit more ownership in their kindness and respect. So parents will see it at home and say, I don't know what you guys are doing down there, but keep it up because, you know, we see such a change in, you know, Susie.
You couldn't ask her a better reward than to have them respond to what you're trying to teach them. And it's nice, too, that the parents are noticing and letting you know that there is a big difference now at home.
Well, we also get some children where English isn't the primary language at home, where once they've learned English through our program, through the help of school, they start teaching their parents English. It's so rewarding when, you know, we were using a translator to talk to Carlos's dad, and then all of a sudden Carlos's dad is now talking to us at his best ability, and we understand, and we're able to communicate so much more effectively.
I always usually ask nonprofit organizations, especially smaller ones, that if you had an opportunity or a wish for something to move forward with your nonprofit organization, something that you'd like to see in the future, what would it be for the McGlynn Center?
Well, for us, it's really being able to expand and take our program to other communities. We're limited being at the Wilkes-Barre Housing Authority and only helping the students that live on those properties. We are in a working partnership right now with the CYC in Wilkes-Barre, and we are hoping that we're going to be able to provide our program at the CYC to the students of Luzerne County primarily who attend there and give them help and support academically so that the children who are struggling in their education can really learn the tools that they need to become more successful. And if that works out, I would love to expand, you know, maybe to the West Side or Lower Luzerne County and really let people know who the McGlynn Center is and what we are able to do in the community to help our children succeed and take ownership and responsibility, not only in their education, but their futures. One of the messages that I think that I have the community hear about the McGlynn Center is that we really do rely on volunteers. Sometimes people will come and say, well, I'd love to help, but my employer doesn't let me out until 5. And unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about that. the time that we have children in the building is between 2:30 and 5 o'clock. And that's when we need volunteers. But I'd be willing to go talk to your employer about maybe them participating in a volunteer program where maybe more people on your staff would be interested in. You could share a day at the McGlynn Center. That's something I do with a couple organizations. The other thing is that you do not have to be an educator to volunteer at the McGlynn Center. We need three things. One, you need to love children. Two, you need to be patient. I need for you to be successful both with the children and enjoy the experience. The third thing is I definitely need all the state clearances that are required for you to be in the building. So that's kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's kind of thing. But if you love children and you want to just make a difference in the community, just bring your patience with you and understanding, because sometimes the lifestyle you're accustomed to is not exactly what you'll see our children living in. I think the biggest thing is that these are children. And so there's so many stigmatisms out there about people living in poverty or people living in low-income housing. And I feel like that clouds people's judgment on the fact that these are normal children living in normal households who just don't have all of the things that somebody down the street may have. And they're doing the best that they can. We're there to help. We're part of their village. We're part of their team to make their children understand how important education is to their own futures. Volunteers learn probably just as much as children in our program learn, but it's such a rewarding thing. And usually when I get a volunteer who comes in and takes one day, down the road they'll say, can I work a second day? Can I go on the field trips? Can I, you know, work on your summer program? We have a full day summer program Monday through Thursday that starts 2 weeks after school is out and runs for 6 weeks. And the kids come to our program, parents sign them up, and they're with us all day. So they have half a day of education, lunch, and then half of a day of activity where we do something fun, or we do gym classes, or somebody comes in and talks about animals and kindness to animals and just a variety of different things.
This is so beneficial, not only for the kids, but also for the moms and dads who have to work and they know their children are safe.
The beauty of our program is that as long as you're living in poverty, our program is offered to you at 100% no cost. So we survive only on foundation grants and donations from our community, and we're able to continue to offer this program for 37 years because of the generosity of our community.
I'm sure you see little miracles every single day in different children. You see growth, you see that growth spurt, you see that awareness, that light bulb going off, that spark, that confidence. When you see all of that happening with these children, how does it make you feel knowing you are overseeing the programs that are lending to their future success?
It's a team effort, first of all. I'm only able to lead this group of volunteers and staff because of the wonderful things they bring to the table. But it becomes so rewarding to see a child have that aha moment where they understand now they can do it. And so I hope that if the McGlynn Center can be anything anywhere, that we could be that light that the students see what their future would look like. And we know that we've given them the stepping stones that will get them where they need to be. The mercy spirit brought to us by Sister Miriam and so many sisters that have been involved in our organization over the year, that spirit is what we continue to pass on to all of the students that are a participant in our program and the parents. They get to feel the spirit of mercy and see what it can do to change lives.
Inspiring, nurturing, and successful. Special thanks to Peggy Nork, Executive Director of the McGlynn Center in Wilkes-Barre, shedding the light and bringing hope to area children both academically and socially. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.